This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I'm joined, as always, by Alan Clark, business coach extraordinaire. I'm going to add today. Is that how you treat yourself? Do you feel like a business coach extraordinaire? Is that how you describe yourself?
Oh, yeah. Most of the time. Most of the time. But I tell you what I am. I'm monument extraordinaire. I demolished that in 2 minutes, that monument.
Love it. And you're dressing up like a plum tomorrow and you're going to be live on national TV.
I am. There is something called the Pershore Plum Festival and we're at Worcester Races tomorrow and I'm one of the mascots. There's two mascots. There's I'm purple plum and a yellow plum, and I'm the purple one.
You're always going to be the purple one.
Thank you.
So, good word for a Scotsman to say, purple. We've been talking about this as well today.
Purple.
There you go. Anyway, we digress. What are we talking about today, Alan, that's not plums?
It's not plum related, and it's all about strengthening and growing a business. So today we're actually going to talk about referrals, what they are and why they're really good, and actually how to go about getting some for your business.
Oh, going and getting some. So actually being on the front foot and asking.
Well, why not? I mean, we could set about and hope to get some, which is lovely and actually the purest way, and that will always come your way. But you could always ask for them as well and be more proactive. Is it especially, ideally and especially, if what you're offering is really good to excellent?
100%. I think we were just talking about this at the start before we pressed record. Our LinkedIn, or my LinkedIn message box, and I'm sure yours, is full of, I'll get you 1,000 leads a month, you know, automated AI-based system, lead generations, all of this jazz. I'm not convinced at all that putting a load of money at that is going to get you a better return than going back a step and thinking about where do we get good referrals from and what can we do to cultivate more of those. That'd give you much more bang for your buck, right?
Oh, huge. One of the words that's becoming more and more, I think it's certainly interesting to me, and I see it working more and more, is relationships. And twofold. What one, the quality of the relationships inside an organization, you could call that culture, and then the quality of the relationships outside with clients, customers, and potential customers. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you've got a relationship with a customer who then refers you or talks about you and your business, then compared to the ether that you're chucking a load of messages out, that is intensely more likely to result in a new customer. So the ability, first of all, to build a really good product and service and a relationship, and then from that position of relationship, having a referral, much more likely for that company to become a customer rather than a more of a random into the ether and hope something will stick.
Yeah, 100%. People, yeah, it's an old adage, people buy from people, but people often buy from the people that their friends and family have used, right? We were having this conversation just now. Nobody ever asks you, do you know an average plumber? Do they?
No,
do you know an average
never.
Plumber? Do you know a half-decent solicitor?
Yeah.
People, do you know a good such and such? And then typically, people do, and typically they give you the last person that they've used.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were good enough. Most business owners are good enough to warrant a referral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you need to be. You know, whether you're best at what you do or not, as long as you're good enough, you should be able to get a referral. Because, mm-hmm. people are a bit lazy. Right, yeah, John came over, he was all right. He did a job, he fitted the boiler. What do you want? You know, John's actually thinking, well, actually, he does 100 things other than fitting boilers, and he's pretty good at it, but it doesn't matter, we'll take the referral and move on. So it's building the relationship with your current customers to cultivate the potential for for future referrals. Mm-hmm. That's how I treat you in my business. Mm-hmm. We know that our onboarding, so the first 3 months of our engagement with a customer, is key, A, to how long the relationship lasts. If we get that right, typically relationships last mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, however many years. If we get it wrong, it lasts less than 6 months. So it's really critical, mission critical for us to get that first 3 months bedded in, dealt with properly. And typically, because we put so much effort on that first 3 months to make sure that it all works, we get a referral. It's on average, we get a referral from a new client within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we, that's the kind of icing on the cake, the gold star. We know we've done well and that they're going to stick, because at that point they've referred us on to someone else.
And if you don't mind sharing, roughly what percentage of these referrals will become clients, would you say?
Typically, probably about 75. A good chunk.
That's a very strong figure.
Because we spend a lot of time, because they're very similar to our clients' businesses. Yeah. You know, people hang out with people that are generally similar to them. And so we spend a lot of time talking to our clients about what's a good potential customer for them, but also what's a good potential customer. Just why we want to work with them is because of the mindset of the business owner and the, you know, the potential growth of the business and what they need from us and what we like doing, et cetera, et cetera. Then when they're thinking about, you know, who they might refer us to, they've got all that in the back of their head then, that actually we don't want to work with John and his bag of receipts. And we often get that from clients saying, I was going to recommend you to such and such, but I thought probably not. He's not a client for you because of this. Or is he a client for you? I was thinking of referring you, but I just wanted to be sure. And then we can kind of head them off at the pass or not. So, I think if you educate your client base on why they're a good client for you, assuming they are, then it puts the thought in their mind of, you know, they get that warm, fuzzy feeling that they're wanted, right? Not just because they're another customer, but because they, you know, the ethos is aligned or whatever jargon you want to put around it. So yeah, 100%. Referrals are massive as a part of our business, but we treat it as that kind of feedback loop, closing the feedback loop. Right? That, yeah, they must like what we do because they've recommended us. And if there was a problem, they would have recommended someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it is a measure of the positive impact your products and services having in the market. In some companies, rightly pay for mystery shopper customer satisfaction data for them to get a sense of that. But something that you can always very much pay attention to is the amount of referrals you're coming in. And if your referrals are coming in and you're converting these referrals, then literally your company is growing, and that's somebody else to then get a referral. And you've 75% of an opportunity. So over a year of you focused on providing an astonishing service, that to me is a sound, proven and very effective way to grow.
It is, but it's also not often part of anyone's business plan. So if you ask clients, have you got a business plan? Yep. Have you got a marketing plan? Sometimes yes, not always. If you then said, like, in your marketing plan, what's your plan for referrals? Mm-hmm. Not sure anyone has that. There'll be people that are in BNI or that kind of referral-driven mm-hmm. networking group that may, because BNI, love it or not, and, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's in a camp on BNI for some reason, it does train you very well to be proactively out looking to harvest referrals, right? That's the big benefit, I think, of BNI. But if you're not in that world, most people take it as a bonus on the top and not the focus of the marketing. And then they'll spend their money on social and their money on video and their money on SEO and all the other bits. And I would still wager that the majority of their good stuff comes from referral.
Mm-hmm.
If you're business to consumer, maybe not so much. I get that. If you're selling products, you know, then maybe not. But if you're a service-led business, I think referral should be front and center of your marketing campaigns.
Okay. So in the giving you 10 seconds to think, and then I'm more than happy to go, but in your experience now of being a professional services company yourself and in helping hundreds of other professional services companies, what do you see is when people are really thinking about the power of referrals, best practice to create some referrals for their business, what would you say?
Okay, so what we do very well, I think, without blowing my own trumpet too much, is that I think the majority of our customers and the majority of our contacts know what a good client is for me. Mm-hmm. We talk endlessly, not about our business, but about who we like to work with. And I think that means that we have an army, and we spent a long time, like 10, 15 years, building relationships in our network with people that can introduce us, that are plugged in. So I know I've got quite a few business coaches that I work with that know that if they see a business that's got this trait and this trait and this type of business owner, that we're the right accountant for them. And then, you know, it's down to a bit to the luck of the draw as to whether they've got an accountant like me already, or they suddenly throw up a need for one down the line, or whatever happens. But I think that's step one, is understanding what is a good referral for your business. And then I spent a huge amount of time making myself useful to all those other potential, so not clients, but people that could introduce me to my clients. We do a lot of guest sort of seminars for different types of businesses. We give lots of leads to lots of different businesses, mortgage advisors, will writers, financial planners, estate agents. I like to be the hub of, someone comes in and needs a service. We've got 500 clients that all do various services to other businesses. So come to me and I can get you a good plumber, a good builder, a good funeral director, a good estate agent, whatever it is, we've probably got one. And then people, just the nature of the world, if you give, you know, a mortgage broker 5 clients over the course of a year, they will do their damnedest to get you a client back, because that's how human nature is, right? People help people that they get on with. And I find that there are some that are easy to give referrals to, and some I give maybe once every 2 years because it's niche what they do. But you just build this consistent goodwill with everybody, and it comes back. It comes back in different. It's hard to quantify, and it's hard to put the figures.
Which is maybe why that bit alone that you just said doesn't appear in a typical business plan. However, it absolutely works. And what I love about it more than anything else is the fact that you own it. You're not relying on anyone else. If you decide that for the next 3 months, I'm really going to focus on being a gatekeeper or a referral giver to contacts to help other people to strengthen and grow, your understanding of everyone's business is increases hugely anyway, which is great for yourself, but you get that reputation of being a go-to. Hmm. And then if he's really, I mean, I'm using he because it's you, but if Matt is really skilled in this space, then what about the actual service he's providing? I'm getting curious about that too. And then the people that you've referred, the businesses you refer people to, are more likely to go, okay, he really is providing us with some good material here. What can we do to repay the favour? Because most humans work like that. Mm. And yes, scientifically, you can't maybe analyse it. What percentage of humans work like that? Well, I don't know. But my gist is a fair amount do, and that's good enough for me. I love that.
And you obviously need to be careful, because I'm very wary of giving referrals to people that I don't know particularly well. That was the biggest, you know, I'm a big fan of BNI, but my biggest issue with BNI is new business owner joined the group and within a week you're expected to pass them all the referrals that you've got mm-hmm. from them when you don't know them from Adam. You've got to be very careful with your reputation, because you're passing your reputation into their hands, right? Now, we've got lots of clients that we trust implicitly and we know give a good service. And you can then, if you recommend, you know, if you've got a rock star estate agent and you recommend someone to it and they give them an amazing service and sell their house within 2 weeks, you've built your credibility with that client or that potential client off the chart, right? And it puts your perceived value is up there with them then. So if you've got four amazing clients that do four amazing things, your brand gets elevated just by working with them. So cultivating this giving out,
yep,
first to get it back. It always comes back. I think the other thing is don't be closed off to new relationships. Just because you know a good mortgage broker doesn't mean you can't speak to another one. And I work on the basis we have a coffee with everybody so that we can get to know, if you don't know who you don't know, and get to know them. And then you've got two mortgage brokers you can potentially recommend to people, and you can then work out who's a good fit for this person and who'd be a good fit for that person. It's, you know, not everybody thinks the same,
no,
wants the same product.
And logically, just using logic alone, the more strong relationships you have in the market, and imagine out of all your connections, 10% referred you or 20%, and that was a magic number. Then the more relationships you build, you're getting 20% of a larger number. So building relationships positively in the business space that you're in has so many benefits, like huge tons. But one of them is this, that you get more and more referrals. You just will.
Oh, absolutely. You people get a sense of who's open for business and who isn't. I had this quite, not hilariously, but I always thought it was funny. The old firm that I used to work at, I appeared to be the only person that ever went anywhere and did anything. So in January, when it was hellishly busy for that business, I didn't go anywhere. And then come February, we had people saying, oh, I thought that business had closed. I hadn't seen anybody, nothing on LinkedIn, nothing on social media, nobody at any events. Like, you know, we didn't know you were working for business kind of thing. Because you build these relationships, but there was a, wherever you do business, there will be a networking scene where, yeah, you see the same. There are some serial, yeah, networkers that are at every breakfast, every lunch, every coffee, and you're quickly forgotten. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks out and someone else will be in, and you can't dip in, do networking and that whole referral thing for 3 weeks and then dip out and think that you've done it.
So do you think having a referral strategy is actually, do you think referrals are big enough in terms of what they can do to warrant a strategy or a strategic approach in a given year, for example?
So if you asked me that 4 years ago, I would have said no. So when I wrote my business plan, I was in BNI, so I had an inkling that we would get X amount a month out of BNI. But other than that, no, I had a marketing budget, I had a plan as what I was doing, and then we've grown, I don't know however much percent, 300%? I don't know, phenomenally over 4 years, all through referrals, really, without BNI and a proper marketing strategy, just trusting that my network is strong and I know a lot of people and we deliver good stuff, and then the referrals just come. The difficult bit of running a business like that, it's great, right? We've grown massively, we haven't spent much on marketing, that sounds brilliant. It's really difficult. 2 weeks ago, I was saying to you, Alan, got no pipeline,
yeah,
need to think about marketing because I'm sat here and we need to grow, but there's nothing in the pipeline, no conversations happening. Now we're 2 weeks on, and I'm telling you my pipeline's got X amount in it and I've got all these quotes still to do and it's gone the other way. That's the issue. It's not predictable, it's not steady. It will average out over a period. But you know, if you're chucking money into SEO or Google Ads or something like that, you know, if you're doing it right, that you can put £500 in and get X amount of leads out. I can't do that with referral-based marketing. I have to trust that eventually it will all come in. But if I could get four brilliant clients in a 2 week period and then nothing for 3 weeks, and that's difficult to manage. Does that make sense? Yeah,
it does.
Depends on what you do. whether you can use it as the base, but certainly 4 years ago, I didn't think I could. And now 4 years on, we have.
And I love that you made this distinction early on in this podcast. I think it's a fair one to make, the distinction between business to business versus business to customer.
Yeah.
Easier or certainly a more straightforward space is business to business for professional services and referrals based on service.
Yeah, yeah. If you're, you know, if you're a florist shop, something like BNI is going to not give you all you need. You'll get some referrals out of it for weddings and bits and pieces, I imagine. And you might get introduced to good funeral directors and wedding venues, and you could use it to kind of build that side, but it's not going to give you 5% more footfall in your shop. Referrals won't do that.
Although, if you just took, in one of our first podcasts, we did talk about a florist example, didn't we?
We did.
So we're going back 60 episodes here. But if I've got a reputation and in the town, and there's three florists in my town of giving the best service, the best flowers, then I'm going to get a chunk of referrals in that town, am I?
Yeah. Well, we talked about this, not on a podcast, but while we were having lunch. We've got a funeral director client who is known in the village that he's based in. He's the funeral director. There's four other shops or however many there are, but no one goes to them because they go to this guy because everyone knows him. And that's phenomenal word of mouth. It's not Is it available for every business? It probably is on that level if you think about it, but it's tricky. It's really hard. You don't know what conversations people are having about you. So you can't, on social media, you can track the level of interactions you're having, how many people are viewing your posts and liking your posts and resharing and all of that. You can't do that. You can't do that on word of mouth because you don't know what the people in the pub are talking about unless you're with them.
But I tell you what, there's another reason to be, and again, you own this, be on your A game the vast majority of your time and really do understand, even if you're not feeling it, that how you show up in your service or in a room with other business people is huge, because you're having a great day. That's good. If you're disengaged or, you know, distracted, or your service hasn't been good for a couple of weeks, very quickly, that not only does it shut down the possibility of referrals, and I think it does start to shut it down, but then even deeper than that, people can start to look elsewhere. Do you know, when I first started my career as a store manager in Boots, it was tiny. The store was about the size of this office. Not that this is a tiny office, but for a Boots retail store, it's small. You know where I'm going with this. I increased the pharmacy business by 30% in 1 year because I was the nice young man at Boots that talked to people. And there was three or four pharmacies in that town, but people came to me because I was the pharmacist that was out talking to people. And that was seen to be radical, actually just talking to people. So there you go. It does make a huge difference because people talk.
It does. And that goes back to, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be better. You have to be good enough, and that would be better than most of your competition, right? So what do you think about asking for referrals? So saying, oh, Alan, I noticed that you know John, and I've been trying to have a coffee with John for weeks. Could you get me in? You ever get asked questions like that? What's your view?
I think there's a place for it. If I'm really honest, it wouldn't be a classic Alan manoeuvre.
But are there classic Alan manoeuvres?
That's in a podcast called
Classic to Your Wife.
But this I'm trying to focus now. But this, I think there is a place for it. I love what you said near the start of this, when you said you spent a chunk of time helping your customers understand what an ideal client is for you.
Yeah.
I think that's in this role space. It's just that actually this is the service we've created. This is the impact I'm having. I'd really love to work with this company or this industry. You're in that industry, I know you know that person. If you felt, then an introduction would be really welcome. I think there is a place for that. I certainly wouldn't be saying it and doing it to everyone. I am big on I would always do that in a position of strength. So if you're feeling that you're showing up really well in that relationship, not manipulation, but genuinely showing up well, then asking is A, more likely to work, and B, feels less weird than if you just go and... Because I've seen it in networking. Somebody in a 60 seconds will say, I'm really looking for an introduction to blah. I'm not a fan of that.
So that's BNI?
Well, I've seen it in other spaces.
Yeah, but BNI teaches... Anyone that's been to BNI will be taught to do that.
See, I'm not a fan of that. I do see merit in asking for an introduction if... On the back of grounds of merit, in that I know my business is really performing well, it's making a big difference, I think I could help this company, I'd love an introduction, great. But when it's a bit cold, I'm not personally a fan of that, and I think it will work less.
See, I had this issue at BNI. We talked about BNI more than I thought, and I really should have put two and two together, because in my mind, referrals and BNI are one and the same. Where someone would stand up and say, I want an introduction to, you know, Barry the florist, and I think, well, Barry's my client, but do I want to introduce you? I know all you're going to do is sell to him, and I know that Barry's really happy with, you know, his painter and decorator or whatever it is that he's, you know, and you're left in that position where it now becomes awkward, because you want an intro to my favourite client, and I know that they're not that sort of, you know, some people don't do referrals. Have you noticed this?
Mm-hmm.
They're just not, it's not how they do, they prefer to do business with people that other people don't know. So mm-hmm. it's all very distinct. Mm-hmm. And they use me, but they never once asked me for a mortgage broker or all the standard bits that come along with our service, because I'm out of their network, and their mortgage broker will be in a completely different network. And they just, like a little bubble of them own that don't, yeah. We've got like a matrix that cross analyzes all our clients and who uses who, so that we know, because we need to, because we need to know who the financial advisor is, who we're talking to about pensions and who's done the will and, you know, all of that. And there'll be some that are just a little bubble on their own, and we don't know anybody else in their contacts book. And that's just how some people are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have others that are plugged into everyone that we're plugged into. It's really weird. So that whole asking, I think if you don't ask, you don't get. But yeah, the amount of times, and I've just said to my client that your name came up at networking today, and this guy wanted an intro, and I don't know what it's about. And they can then sink or swim on their own, and all I've done is kind of connected to people. Whereas normally I would say, oh, you need a business, can you speak to Alan? He's going to transform what, you know, we do a warm referral rather than a, hi, John, Barry wanted to meet you, here you are, here are your details, happy connecting kind of thing. Anyway, I feel like we're at the point where we've probably run out of, points now.
We've added value, but that's why we've got a 30-minute podcast.
Indeed.
Because we always are confident we can get enough value in that podcast before we maybe run out of ideas.
So, as ever, hopefully you found this useful. If you like what you hear, as ever, give us a shout on social media. Give us a referral. Like, if you know someone you think would value listening to our podcast, then send them a copy, because that's how our podcast grows. It's only through word of mouth. We don't have
genuinely, any other. That's it.
So yeah, that's pretty much it for now. We'll be back next week with more podcast gold. But for now, that's all from me, and it's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.